I want you to get your Bibles ready and turn with me first of all to Genesis chapter 7 and hold your place there. We will be in about five different scriptures this morning and we'll be beginning in Genesis, but it'll be a moment before we go there. Psalm 34:3, you don't want to turn there, but I want you to just listen to this for a moment. It says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." Magnify the Lord with me. There is a call to magnify the Lord. And I remember when I was young, and I would think about that phrase, and I didn't entirely understand it, because in order to magnify something, you're zooming in and you're making it larger than it really is. If I were to magnify the words on this page, I look through a magnifying glass and the words appear larger than they are. And if there are errors in those words, the errors are larger. And so everything is magnified. It's so different when we come to magnifying the Lord. If I wanted to magnify one of you today, and I wanted to tell about how great and wonderful you are, and I would begin to lift you up, and I would begin to talk about all of the great things that you have done, and I would have to exaggerate those things to make you look bigger and more wonderful than you really are. And to be honest and truthful, if I were going to magnify you, then I would magnify everything about you. And so I wouldn't be able to do it without also magnifying your faults and your errors. Same thing, if you were magnifying me, you would also magnify my faults and my errors. Or else, if you truly just wanted to magnify me and make me look good, then you would have to leave out certain things and you would be exaggerating my goodness. You would be exaggerating who I am. And it would not be true. It would not be a truthful image, would it? But with God, because God is infinite and God is perfect, we can magnify him. What we are looking at is one who we can't even begin to fathom all of the depths of how infinitely good and wonderful he is. And when we magnify him, we are making him look bigger in our eyes and our minds than we have seen him before, but we're not exaggerating, because he can't be exaggerated. He's already infinitely great, infinitely wonderful. And so when we look into the scripture and it says magnify the Lord, it means stretch your mind and your concepts and your words to exalt him and to see him. As you look into his word, you're going to see things about him throughout your life as you walk with him, and you're going to exalt him as you see the things for the first time, and he is ever and ever greater to you in your heart and in your mind. And so my desire today, all of that is to say, my desire today is to take the truth from the Word of God and to so magnify it and magnify God that you stand in awe and wonder at the Lord and his greatness and his majesty. I'm going to begin with a truth today for magnifying the Lord, a truth that we find in Revelation chapter 3. Again, we'll get to Genesis in a few moments. But in Revelation 3, verses 7 through 8, Jesus is speaking to the church in Philadelphia. And he says these words concerning himself. He said, Jesus says, "I am he who has the key of David. He who opens and no one shuts, and he who shuts and no one opens." I want you to let those words sink in for a moment, because we are talking about opening and shutting, sealing and unsealing. The title of the message today is "The God Who Shuts and No Man Opens." The God who shuts and no man opens. And so Jesus is the one who has the key of death and the grave. He is the one who opens and no one shuts, and he shuts and no one opens. Concerning the work of the Lord, he says, for the people at Philadelphia, concerning their work for him, he says, "I have set before you an open door." Some of you need to hear this morning. God has set before you an open door. And listen to these words, "and no one can shut it." No one can shut it. When God opens the door for you, it doesn't matter what man does, that door is open unto you. It can't be shut by man, it can't be shut by Satan. It can only be opened and shut by God himself. God is the one who seals things and opens things. He seals things and he opens things. He closes doors and he opens doors. He seals gates shut and he opens gates. When man seals something, it can only remain sealed. It can only endure as long as God is in agreement with that sealing. Let's just take that and let it sink in for a moment. If I shut something, if I seal something, if I close something, it can only remain closed, and I'm talking about spiritual realities here, it can only remain closed as long as God's in agreement with what I am declaring and what I have done. And if Satan seals something shut, and Satan tries to close the door and to seal it shut, it's the same thing. It can only remain sealed and shut as long as God says that it can remain sealed and shut. But beloved, listen, when God seals, when he shuts something, whether it's a door, a gate, or any other thing, his seals can only be broken by himself. No man can break the seal of God. In Revelation, in another place, we find that there's a scroll with seven seals. Many of us are interested in these seals and the bowls and the trumpets, symbolic things concerning the last days. And there's a trumpet with, there's a scroll with seven seals. And no one in heaven or earth was found worthy to open those seven seals. And then one of the elders in heaven steps forward and says, "Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah," speaking of Jesus Christ, "he has prevailed and has authority to open the seven seals." And John looks and he sees the Lamb of God. He sees a lamb as though it had been slain, speaking of the Lord who has been crucified for you and I. He has authority to open the seals, even the seals of all of the events of the end times. He has all on earth. When Jesus opens seals, no one can shut them again. When he closes things and seals them, no one can open them again. Jesus Christ is Lord and absolute authority over all seals and doors and gates. You may wonder, where are you going, Pastor Mark? But I want you to think for a moment, and I want you to let this truth sink in, so that we can begin to walk through the Word of God and see some things concerning it this morning. Even the gates of hell, the Bible says that because Christ is in his church, and we have the authority of the name of Christ, that even the gates of hell cannot withstand the church as she moves forward in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Christ has all authority over all doors, all gates, all bars, all keys, all seals, everything that is shut and sealed by the enemy, the Lord has authority to open. And everything that is opened by Satan and released into the earth, the Lord is in absolute control, and he has authority to shut and seal those things when he determines that it is time to do so. And I'm going to be just calling you because I began this message today talking about magnifying the Lord. And I'm inviting you today. I know you're sitting in your living room or sitting in bed, some of you watching this, but I'm just going to invite you to speak out loud. I can't hear you, but I'm inviting you to say amen. I'm inviting you to say, "Oh, magnify the Lord. Magnify the Lord. I exalt the Lord this morning. There is none greater than Jesus Christ. No one greater than the Lord. He opens and closes, and no one can change what he decrees." This is an eternal truth, and it has eternal consequences. It concerns the eternal destinies of every man, woman, boy, and girl. It also applies right now in your life. Like the Philadelphians who were working for the Lord wanted to encourage them, and he says, "I've put before you an open door, and no one can shut that door." And the Lord says the same thing to you this morning. "I have put before you an open door." There's something, some door that I have opened or am opening for you. There's a place that I want you to speak to someone. There's something that I want you to do for me. There's a word of encouragement, or there is a task or something that I'm calling you to put your hand to the plow and to do for me. And no one can interfere with, nothing can shut that door if I have opened it for you. Magnify the Lord with me this morning. I want us to look at five seals or doors or gates, as they may be, as we come upon them in Scripture, and see what bearing this truth has for us today. The first one is the seal of salvation. The seal of salvation, and we're going to begin in Genesis, and I would call it also the seal of Noah. In the book of Genesis, chapter 7, verse 13, 15, and 16. On the very same day, Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them, entered the ark. And verse 15, and they went into the ark to Noah, two by two, of all flesh in which is the breath of life. So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded. Then underline this, and the Lord shut them in. And the Lord shut them in. We have the picture in the Word of God that they have entered into the place of safety from judgment. It is the perfect picture in advance in the Word of God for salvation. God is going to send a judgment, and he speaks to Noah, and he calls him to respond to him in obedience and to work to build this ark. But it's God who seals the door shut so that the waters of judgment cannot enter into the ark once the judgment begins to fall on the earth. I want you to notice some things about this morning that apply to your salvation and mine. Noah believed. That's all Noah had to truly do. He had to believe and respond. There's a point that I want to make concerning that. He is responding, but only God had the power to save.
Amen.
Noah did not save them. He and his family. Noah worked, but his work was not for his salvation. His work was a response of faith, and it was a testimony to the generation
Amen.
In which he lived.
Amen.
They watched this man at a time when there had been no rain. For 120 years, he and his sons building, working, of the structure that they had never seen anything like it before. And they build this ark. It is a picture. The Bible says that Jesus says, I am the door. I am the way. He is the door of the ark. And the New Testament says the ark is a picture of salvation above the waters of judgment.
Amen.
That is, we go into the ark of safety, which is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The door is the way. It is through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
God seals the door. We don't seal the door. We don't save ourselves. It's the faith and faith's response of obedience to go in and to go into the place of safety that he has ordained for us. It is a perfect picture of salvation. And I want you to notice this concerning it. Noah was an imperfect man. An imperfect man entered into God's place of safety. And inside, while judgment was falling, he was still an imperfect man. But he was sealed in by a perfect God.
Amen.
He entered
Amen.
Into the ark.
Yes.
Jesus is the door. God seals us in.
Amen.
Now we're going to return to this in another scripture in a moment. God seals us in to this perfect place of safety. There is no flaw in what God has done.
Thank you, Lord.
It is a picture of the last days also.
Yes.
The final day of the Lord is all of this time of history, as the years have been passing by, God is filling his ark. He's filling the ark with all who would come in and
Amen.
Be saved. And for you who have already entered, this is a slightly different from the ark in Noah's day. In Noah's day, everything waited until they had all entered and then the door was sealed. For you who have already entered, from your standpoint and God's, it is already sealed for you.
Amen.
He has already sealed the door. You are safe inside.
Thank
the only thing,
yes.
listen, God put that seal there.
Yes.
And the only thing that can break that seal is unbelief. Faith is the entrance into the ark of safety.
Hallelujah.
And you're in the ark of safety, and it's a picture again of the last days as the ark is being filled. We see all of these calamities and things happening in the world right now, and God's filling his ark. And one day, that one last person that God has ordained is going to walk through that door and enter that ark, and then God's going to seal it again. It's going to be shut because it will be the final hour.
Yes.
No one else will be able to enter. The judgment will fall. You know, you need to really read your Bible differently than what some of you do. You need to understand that God is not just the God of the Gospels. Jesus isn't just the Jesus of the Gospels. You read the Gospel about Jesus who comes and he ministers. A lot of people look at Jesus' ministry. And they go, well, I want to build my ministry. I want to be like Jesus. So I want to do the same things he did. I want to heal the sick. And those are all legitimate things that the Lord has called his people to do. And others look at some other aspect of the Gospels. He was a teacher. And so some want to pattern their life after the teacher, and they want to teach. And there are all of these things that are all a legitimate part, but a lot of people only want to see the goodness, the kindness and the compassion of the Son of God walking on the earth as he touched people, healed people, and did all of these wonderful, miraculous things. But they don't want to read the book of Revelation. They don't want to see that the God who walked on the earth in human flesh is going to come. And the book of Jude describes this in graphic detail for us. He's going to come as God of judgment.
Yes.
He's going to come and he's going to bring judgment and recompense. In his word in Jude, he says, against all ungodly.
That's right.
And all of those who have
rebelled
against him in an ungodly manner and refused his salvation. This morning, I pray if you're listening to me, you have come into the ark because there's a judgment that's coming. You've come into the ark and it is a place of safety, and God has sealed you in for that final day. There's going to be a day, you know, that we won't have to be, if you look at it this way, in the ark, we're going to come out again just like Noah. We're going to come out into an eternity with Christ.
Amen.
Where we're not being kept from judgment anymore, because that will all be a distant memory.
Amen.
Something in the past. Praise God. Magnify the Lord with me.
Hallelujah.
Magnify the Lord
Hallelujah.
With me this morning. He is great and he is greatly to be praised.
Yes, we praise you, Lord.
It's God's work, not yours.
Yes.
God seals the door.
Yes.
It's a beautiful, perfect salvation.
Thank you, Lord.
And it is sealed by a beautiful and perfect God.
Amen.
Our condition for being in that place is faith and belief.
Thank you.
We believe and
yes.
we respond in faith.
Lord.
Number two is the seal of man. Number two is the seal of man. So we're going to see the seal of Satan in a moment, but these two are very closely interconnected because Satan works through man. He influences people. And so in this one, I'm talking about how Satan animates rebellious man to seal and shut up things that God would not have sealed and shut. And those seals and those things that Satan shuts are nothing before the power of Almighty God. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. In verse 16, so the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Now we know this story. We know that Daniel, because he obeyed God, because he was a righteous man, he was a praying man, he was an obedient man, he was sentenced to be put into a den of lions with the expectation that the lion would be to pieces. Don't be mistaken by this king's words where he says, your God's going to save you. He's still being an instrument of Satan. He is bringing persecution against the man of God. We find that that's what Satan does all the way from the Garden of Eden until the Lord comes again and binds Satan and seals him. We find that Daniel is put in there, and this, I want you to understand, this applies to you. These aren't just noble thoughts here. Satan desires to shut you in. He desires to seal you in.
That's right.
He desires to put you in a place, a prison, if you will.
Yes.
Sometimes a literal prison, sometimes a prison of your own making,
yes.
Sometimes a prison of Satan's making. Sometimes a prison within your thoughts, sometimes a prison of circumstances. Sometimes a prison of sickness or
yes.
Many other things. But he wants yes. You to come to the place where you think it's been sealed.
Yes,
he wants you to come to the place where you think there's nothing that can be done, that the seal is too powerful, the door has been shut. He wants you to feel that you've been put into a tomb and the stone has been rolled over the entrance and you cannot come out again.
He's a liar.
To roll a stone over the mouth of the tomb that he has created for you. It may be a tomb of depression. It may be a tomb of obsessive thoughts. People have so many obsessions today and thoughts and actions, fears, anxieties. People are bound by these today. Sexual bondages that they cannot seem to escape. Bondages in relationships. Poverty. Poverty can be a bondage. It can be a place. It can be a prison. Because we have not honored the Lord and followed the Lord, there's a poverty that can be a real binding thing upon us because we are violating God's laws and God's word, and it is a sin. It's a place where we find ourselves just bound up in such a horrible place. Sickness can be a prison. Persecution. Daniel was being persecuted because of his faith. And there is a persecution for many believers worldwide today. And there's a persecution coming for the people of God, even in the West. He wants you to believe, though, that you are sealed and that you are shut in. But our word tells us this morning, Jesus said, I am the one who shuts and no one opens.
Amen.
And I'm the one who opens and no one shuts.
Amen.
So magnify the Lord with me this morning. That there's nothing that Satan can do to you that is irrevocable. There's
right.
Nothing that he can do to you that's not penetrable by the power of the Lord
Amen.
Jesus Christ. There's
Amen.
No place that he can put you and seal you in, shut you in. Some of you this morning, you feel that you're in a place of such circumstances that you are bound, you are tied, and no one can break that seal. But God says, I am the one who loosens
Amen.
Seals. I am the one who opens doors.
Amen.
No one can overcome what I do.
Amen.
Job found himself in a tomb of sickness. But God was the one that delivered him from that sickness.
Amen.
Even though that sickness was put upon him by Satan, God was ultimately in control. Jeremiah found himself under persecution and thrown into a muddy pit. But he was delivered from that pit. Paul and Silas found themselves in prisons of persecution. And the Bible says that at midnight, see it, the seal on the door of your tomb largely is waiting upon your response in faith to God. Paul and Silas were singing praises to God at midnight.
Yes.
And it may
yes.
be the midnight hour for you this morning in that prison house in which you find yourself. But as you begin to worship and praise the Lord, you will begin to know in your spirit that there is hope and that things
Amen.
Can change. The Bible
Amen.
Says our faith is established upon hope in prison. But if you begin to let hope come in and have its way, your faith can be built up and strengthened. God can begin to break those things off of your life.
Amen.
Those seals set by Satan can withstand the power of God.
Amen.
You know, Paul and Silas were praising God at midnight, but later we find that Paul, he was in prison for the rest of his life. He was a prisoner for the rest of his life. And God didn't take him out of that prison except when it was time to take him home. But I want you to listen to this truth. If you feel that you this morning, that you are in an extended time of some prison, something that has bound you in, but you're walking with God, you know that your heart's right with God, but the bars of the prison haven't moved, the door hasn't come open, why did God have Paul? Why did he stay in that prison and God did not break the door chains or open the door up at midnight? Because he knew he had a man in that prison house that would magnify him in the midst of that trouble, in the midst of that prison. He would glorify God and the word of God that would come through Paul would be unchained, and it would go forth into all the world. And that's how we got most of the New Testament. So wherever you are, you may be in a place like that, but those seals can't hold your spirit.
Amen.
They can't hold your spirit if you're free in Christ.
Amen.
Daniel was shut up in the prison with the lions, but the Bible says he prayed. He prayed, and his God came and shut the mouth of the lions. Number three is the seal of the grave, or Satan's seal. The seal of the grave. It is the seal of God's almighty power. Turn to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27. Matthew 27 verses 64 through 66. Oh, I pray that you'll be encouraged this morning, that you will magnify the Lord today, that you'll exalt him, and you will believe that he is more powerful than any door that has been slammed shut, more powerful than any binding seal upon you that Satan has put into place, more powerful than the gates of hell as they seem to come against you in your life as a believer. God is above all of those things. The seal of the grave, Matthew 27, verse 64. Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say to the people, he has risen from the dead. So the last deception will be worse than the first. Pilate said to them, you have a guard. Go your way. Make it as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. Sealing the stone and setting the guard. This is Satan at what he believes is his finest hour. And indeed, Jesus, when Judas was coming to the Garden of Gethsemane, and they were coming to arrest Jesus, Jesus said that he saw Satan coming. He said, Satan, this is your hour and the power of darkness. This is your hour and the power of darkness. Satan thought that he had put Jesus in the grave. Satan thought that that stone being rolled across the door of that tomb, that that was his doing. That was his seal. He thought that he had shut in the Son of God, that he had finally brought him to an end. His plan would not come to fruition. The first man, Adam, in the Garden of Eden, had given Satan his authority over the planet, his authority because sin came in through Adam, his authority over death in the grave, Satan received because of Adam and Eve's sin in the garden and their forfeiture of what God had planned for them. And so the Bible says that Satan had the keys to death, the hell, and the grave. Jesus, as the last Adam, comes to undo the work of the first Adam. He comes to take back the keys of death and the grave. Again, this is Satan creating what he thinks is his most powerful work, his strongest seal. The tomb is sealed, and he thinks nothing can be done about it. Now, Satan has set a seal, and he thinks, I shut, and no man opens. He's always mimicking the things of God.
Yes.
He thinks to himself, I shut this tomb up, and no man can open it. I shut, and no man opens. But the Father looks down at the Son in the tomb and says, look, behold, I have set before you an open door. Because God has all power over even the tomb and the grave.
Amen.
And so Jesus comes forth. He declares, I open, and no man shuts. I just see this dichotomy between Satan and Jesus. So Satan says, I shut, and no man opens. And Jesus says, no, I open, and no man shuts. And vice versa. So Jesus comes forth out of the grave. He had already told the religious leaders, he said, when they demanded a sign from him, or a miraculous sign, he said, I'll give you one sign and one sign only. That is the sign of the prophet Jonah. Just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. 3 days and three nights, speaking of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And we go to the book of Jonah and we read that Jonah, in his beautiful poetic language, he describes how he went down into death. I believe he died in the whale. Many believe that. But he sank into death, and he describes it because he uses the language of death in many ways. I'm just going to lift out one. He talks about how the bars of the earth closed over him. The bars of the earth, in the Old Testament, the underworld was where death and the grave had all the power, and the keys, as Satan held the keys to death, hell, and the grave, and those who died were held in the underworld until Jesus came and took those who were of faith, those who were believers, and rescued them from that. So Jonah describes his descent into death and how the bars closed behind him. We have an old hymn of the church. I want to just read a couple of lines to you. And I believe that it was from Jonah, the picture in Jonah, that the writer of this hymn takes these words. First he says, "Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord." You all know the chorus probably. "Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord." And then the chorus comes again. And then the third verse says this: "Death cannot keep its prey, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away,
amen,
Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose." He had power to come forth out of the grave because no seal can hold him in.
Amen.
He has all
amen.
Power
amen.
Over all seals,
yes.
all doors, all
yes.
gates, even the gates
yes.
of hell.
Hallelujah.
And so he comes forth from the grave, and he is the one in the tomb, is the same one in the book of Revelation who says, "I open and no man shuts."
Amen.
"I open and no man shuts." The fourth seal is the seal of redemption. If you will, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This expands on the seal of salvation that we saw in our first one in Genesis. 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22. "Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also," underline this, "who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." He has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Beloved, listen. Hear the words of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ has deposited his Holy Spirit within you as a deposit, as a guarantee, that on the great day of delivery, when all that belongs to him is going to be delivered to him, he's already purchased. It's kind of like I purchase something today and Amazon deposits it at my door tomorrow. God, through Jesus Christ, purchased you and I at Calvary. The price was paid. It was all done then. But he's waiting on the great day of delivery. You know, with Amazon, I'm not trying to be silly here, but with Amazon, you can defer, instead of having that wonderful next day delivery or same day delivery, you can pick one day and have all of your packages delivered on that one day, and you get rewards, for having it. It's convenient for them. And so it all comes on one day and you get rewards points. The Lord has deferred all deliveries. He has deferred all deliveries until that one great and final day, when he is going to step forward. He is going to leave the throne of glory, and he is going to set foot on the Mount of Olives. And before he sets foot on the Mount of Olives, he's going to catch his bride, his church, up into the air to be with him. And we will come with him in clouds of glory, the Bible says, with the armies of heaven as well.
Yes.
So we come in victory
yes.
and in triumph.
Hallelujah.
And so we find that there's a great day of delivery. On that day, all that belongs to him is going to be
amen.
Delivered.
Amen.
It's going to be delivered to him.
Yes.
Because
Hallelujah.
He's already purchased it.
Yes.
This is the seal of redemption.
Thank
the
you,
Holy
Lord.
Spirit in you
Lord.
Is the guarantee that you will go up when he comes.
Hallelujah.
It is the guarantee that
Hallelujah.
You will be delivered unto him. There's nothing that can change that.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That is done.
Yes.
It's done.
Yes.
It's sealed.
Yes.
God set that seal.
Yes.
No man can break that
yes.
seal. You should have great confidence in your Savior and in your salvation
Hallelujah.
Today, which therefore should cause you to take seriously the words of Romans 8:1. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Those who are called by him and who are in him and who live for him, there is no condemnation. You're like Noah, an imperfect man
yes.
in a perfect ark of salvation.
Yes.
You're imperfect, but God is still
yes.
against all
yes.
the waters of judgment and all that Satan can do. Nothing can harm you. The fifth seal is the final seal of Satan's doom. The final seal of Satan's doom. Revelation chapter 20. You know, we get this great way of seeing things in the here and now as like acts in a play. Like we're rehearsing and things that are taking place now are going to come to great fruition cataclysmically and in fullness when he comes again. And so every day, just bear with me for a moment, every day we get to play this out, something that's going to be played out before the entire universe, one day in the future. Every time that you put your foot on Satan's neck, every time that you say, the Lord Jesus in me has all authority and this seal will not stand, Satan. You will not hold me in this prison. You have no power over me. Every time that you commit him back to the pit, every time that you say, be gone from me, Satan, in Jesus' name. Every time that you send a demon fleeing because you begin to praise and worship the Lord Jesus Christ, you are giving the universe, demons and angels, a foretaste of something's going to happen in great, great fanfare one day in the future. In Revelation chapter 20, we see this event, verses 1 through 3. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, and set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. Now, just do me one favor here. Do not get sidetracked with the fact that he will be released for a little while. I want you to understand that this sealing of Satan in the pit is his final demise. When God, who is the only one who can break his own seals, when God lets him out of the pit for a brief time, it will be for God's own glory as Satan is released to cause a great, great disturbance in the earth and try one last time to overthrow the kingdom of God, and then God will put all of his weight against him, and he will be cast with death, hell, the lake of fire will be thrown into the lake of fire for all of eternity, and that's where Satan will go. You know, get rid of your images of Satan enjoying people suffering in hell. Get rid of your images of him being a being with a trident standing there ruling hell. He won't be ruling anything.
That's right.
He will be suffering like all who have rejected and rebelled against Christ
for
all of eternity. Don't get sidetracked by the fact that he's going to be released for a little while. His sentencing is just simply a little bit further away, but his demise has already been sealed
when
he is thrown into the pit. And an angel, acting on behalf of God, puts a seal over it so that he cannot come out. This is God's great power being displayed against his greatest enemy, Satan, the deceiver, the dragon, the serpent of old. God is so complete in what he does.
Amen.
Listen to this. He is so complete.
Amen.
In what he does. That just as Jesus was laid in the tomb and they put a seal, Satan was responsible for that because he thought that he was going to keep him in the tomb. Even though men created that seal and men sealed the tomb, they were instruments of Satan because he thought that he could keep Jesus within that tomb, keep him dead. And so he is in the tomb and it is sealed. His final indictment, Satan's final indictment is going to be a replay and a reversal of this role. Just as Jesus was in the tomb and it was sealed, it was death sealed, it was Satan's seal. For only Satan desires to keep Jesus bound. No one else wants to keep Jesus bound, only Satan, and to keep him buried. But Jesus arose because a sealed grave is nothing to him. A sealed grave is nothing to him. And Satan's jealousy knows no end.
That's right.
He wants to mimic the things of God.
Right.
And to the very end, he's thinking that somehow he can overthrow God's seals. He can overthrow the things that God decrees in the earth. And here, God turns the tables on him. He turns the tables on the great deceiver. He is thrown into a pit, just as Jesus was thrown into a tomb. He is thrown into a pit. And the Lord says, seal it, just as he sealed my son. Seal it up and put him in there. God has all authority over that seal. Satan cannot break that seal.
That's right.
God shuts the door. He himself says no one else can open it. Satan the deceiver, who deceived the nations. Satan the deceiver, who thought that he had destroyed Christ. Satan, who persecuted God's people throughout the centuries. Satan, who steals, kills, and destroys. Satan, who lies to you as a person of God every day. Satan, who thought that he could gain worship and usurp the very authority of God, the throne of God. Satan, who thought that he could keep Jesus in a grave. We see here in Revelation chapter 20, we see ultimately that he is now the one who's thrown into a pit, and not only could he not keep the seal on Jesus' tomb, not only could he not stop Jesus from rising, here he himself cannot break God's seal on his own tomb.
That's right.
And he himself has no power to rise.
That's right.
He has no power to rise. He will deceive the nations performing miracles in probably in your lifetime through the Antichrist as he comes. He will deceive the nations of the world performing miracles just like Jesus. But this one miracle he cannot do.
That's right.
He cannot rise.
That's
right. He cannot break the seal that God puts upon his pit. He cannot free himself from the fate that he had ordained for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, behold, I shut and no man opens.
Amen.
And I open and no man shuts.
Amen.
Jesus says, I have set before you an open door.
Thank you.
Jesus says, not even Satan can break the seal that God puts that holds him back when that time comes. And the Lord says to you this morning, no matter what you're facing this morning, you should be encouraged today because God is able to seal up Satan and he is able to open doors for you that he will not let Satan go through, and he can shut doors behind you and keep Satan away from you. He can open doors that will lead Satan into destruction, and he can open doors for you that lead you into eternal glory.
Amen.
I open and no man shuts, and I shut and no man opens. This morning as we pray, before we partake of the Lord's Supper together, as we go to the Lord in this, I was just thinking of how many people this morning listening to this can relate to these words. I'm in a pit. I feel like it's been sealed. I feel like someone rolled the stone over my own grave and I'm already in it. I feel like I'm in a claustrophobic hole and I can't get out. I feel like my fate has been sealed. I feel like there's an enemy that has so run over me that I have no power to get up one last time. The Lord wants to encourage you today. He wants you to take this word to heart. He wants to encourage you to turn to Him.
Amen.
He is already, if you're a believer, He has already sealed you in the ark.
Amen.
He has sealed you and no man can break that seal. So that's one place you can already be encouraged this morning that you're safe in the ark of God and Satan can't break that seal. Just keep believing.
Amen.
But then in your circumstances, in the things that are happening in your life, sometimes we walk through things that take time. God is trying to, you may be in a place right now that Satan is throwing his worst at you. God hasn't delivered you, but you're not understanding that God wants to teach you something. He wants you to say, God, what do you want to teach me in this? So that when I come through on the other side, I can help someone else. Or when I come through on the other side, I'll be able to rejoice and say, I've overcome by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
I'll be able to rejoice and say, even Satan could not keep me in that pit, for God rolled the stone away.
Amen.
God is able to do all of this for you, and He wants to.
Yes.
He wants to. This morning,
yes.
Whatever your need is,
yes.
Turn to Him in faith.
Yes.
Be encouraged today. Don't walk in unbelief and don't walk because you're just going to help agree with Satan to keep that thing sealed and shut. Don't walk in unbelief and in doubt of what God can do. If nothing else, determine in your heart this morning, I will not cease believing that
Amen.
God has power over this circumstance.
Yes.
I will not give up waiting on my day of deliverance. And I'm expecting God to come through for me.
Amen.
And I'm going to agree with you in prayer right now as we pray that the Lord will do something mighty for you this day.
Hallelujah.
Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word.
Hallelujah.
Oh God, you're just such a God of these marvelous things that we find in your word, Lord. And those words just take on fresh weight
yes.
this morning. I shut and no man opens and I open and no man shuts. Lord, we bow our hearts before you this morning, the God who seals and unseals, the God who can break open the gates of hell itself, the God who can come forth out of a sealed tomb, God who can call us forth out of our tomb. We thank you for the cross for us, and you came forth out of that tomb, and that by faith we were carried with you into all of those places. We died with you on the cross, our sins were taken away on the cross, and we were buried. The old man was buried, and I'm not the same person I used to be.
Yes.
And I come up out of that grave of my past, a new creation in Christ.
Thank you.
And I thank you for that, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that I will not be discouraged today.
Thank you, Lord.
No matter what I see as the circumstance that has me bound and claustrophobic and all of these things, by faith, I'm going to cast that off because I serve you. A God who is bigger than all of these things. A God who can open any door, any gate, and can break any seal.
Thank you, Lord.
I thank you, Lord. I ask you to break every power of hell off of my life.
Yes.
Break everything that Satan has done off of my life and give me liberty and freedom. Show me what you want to teach me, Lord, but bring me out on the other side.
Yes.
And I'm thanking you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Beloved, would you join with me and as we receive the Lord's Supper together? Maggie and I just rejoice that we've had reports of so many of you that even though you have been sick, you've come through it or you're coming through it even right now and doing better. And we're doing better too. We're almost 100%. This morning we just want to thank God for that.
Amen.
Thank God for what He's done in this congregation. For there are many congregations where for whatever God's doing and whatever the reasons are, where lives have been lost in this thing and where there's been much suffering and much sorrow. And God's been very good to us.
Amen.
And we just want to thank Him for keeping His hand upon us. We rejoice in what He has done. And we come to this time of protecting the bread and the cup, and we are just going to partake this morning remembering this mighty God, who because of what he did at Calvary and at the tomb, displayed his great power to save, to keep us saved, and to bring us through the glory.
Amen.
He said, do this in remembrance until he comes again.
Amen.
So we're looking for that day that he comes again.
Yes.
And the great delivery takes place.
Yes.
All that belongs to him is transferred to him.
Amen.
This morning, do you belong to him?
Yes.
Come in faith, believing. And as we receive this, we remember that on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it, gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body given for you. And after supper, he took the cup and said, this is the blood of the new covenant shed for the forgiveness of sins. Drink all of it. As I close in prayer this morning, we want to remember our sister Michelle Bonzo in Texas. She's part of the Faith Harvest family. She's having surgery tomorrow, and she asked that we would pray for her. So we want to pray for her today. And just going to pray generically also for all of you. God would strengthen you, heal you, and keep you in the coming week with faith and with his presence. And Father, we come this morning and we thank you for this day. We ask that you would look in upon our sister Michelle Wanzo, and Lord, that as she prepares for surgery tomorrow, you would give her peace that passes all understanding. Give the doctors guidance and wisdom, and that this be completely successful. Give her a fast recovery, Lord, and just health in her body, strength in her body, Lord. And we thank you in advance for that. For all of those here at Faith Harvest who are still coming through sickness, Lord God, bring them through with a complete recovery, yes, with no ill effects, Lord, and no after effects. Strengthen each one, Lord, to be servants in your kingdom and to work and continue to do the work of the Lord. Be with the body of Faith Harvest this week, Lord God, and bless them with your presence, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We love you, and we look forward to seeing you all next week.